Hello, it's Becky Anderson here. I'm just popping in to tell you that I've got a new crowdfunding campaign coming on the 1st of June. This is for Wreck This Deck, my solo journaling and deck crafting game. In this game, you play a deck runner. That's a DIY demonologist, trapping demons in altered playing cards and keeping meticulous notes of your work in your journal. At the end, you should have some brilliant microfiction written in your journal and an actual artifact deck of playing cards that you have altered yourself. I'm funding for a printed zine, new art and layout, and I've revised the original version of the game with more content such as sample demon profiles and fortune telling spreads, that sort of thing. There's a link to the pre-launch sign-up page in the show notes of this episode, and thank you very much for listening.
Welcome to Black Armada Tales, an actual play podcast. My name is Josh Fox. My pronouns are he and him. And with me today, at the top of the alphabet...
It must be me, Becky Anderson, playing Lieutenant Emily Loris, also known as Hellcat. My pronouns are she, her. Her pronouns are she and her. And now it's time for the next person in the alphabet.
Blimey, that's a lot. My name is Ed Tomlinson, and my pronouns are he, him, and I'm playing Dr. Tobias Toby Roy, friendly Toby. His pronouns are he, him as well.
Hi, folks. I'm Nick Bate. Tonight I'm playing the Taurus, Commander Sam Buckley, Captain of the Hecate. We share he, him pronouns.
Hello, my name is Sue Elliott. My pronouns are she, her, and tonight I'm playing Sonia Vega, the Gemini, investigator stroke spin doctor extraordinaire, and her pronouns are also she, her.
I'm glad you said extraordinaire at the end of that sentence, Sue, because if you hadn't, I was going to have to say it.
Yeah.
What's the tagline? Cool as shit or something?
Stone Cold Legend.
Stone Cold Legend, that's it.
And we're playing Last Fleet by Josh Fox, me. I've noticed, by the way, that Nick, you find a different way to report your pronouns every single week. It's very impressive.
Just got to keep myself entertained, you know?
I know exactly what you mean. If nothing else intervenes, Loris and Roy will go off in a ship to try and poke Dr. Jaleel, Dr. Merman, whoever he is. Who is this man
Roy,
anyway?
He's been stable. He's Dr. Roy version 3 has been stable for some time.
I see, though. No, but I'm sure there'll be another stable update any day now. One of those annoying
depends,
ones.
Depends if I make contact with the Korax.
Yeah, so that's happening. They're going off together to poke the fuel ship. That might be the only thing that I know is definitely going to happen, actually, come to think of it.
So I guess my concern there was that we just rushed off, and obviously I would also have a concern about this escaped sample. And so...
Oh, well, yeah, that's the other thing that will definitely happen if you don't do anything about it.
And also, the reason that I'm concerned about that is because the only thing I didn't pick was my opportunity to prevent a massive problem from occurring. So... Yes. Is there any way of making use of my opportunity to prevent a massive thing from occurring? Can I say that it was contained within the public lab rather than the secret lab? Can I secure it, lock that down until I return?
No, you are quite incorrect to think that that's what that meant. let me just find the Scorpio move and I will read it to
Spoilers.
You.
Spoilers. I'm actually cancer.
So you discover warning signs before your actions have their full effect. That's what you have been given. And I have given you warning signs in the form of the fact that you know your sample is missing and the video. So you've got your warning signs that your actions have not yet had their full effect.
Okay.
But you have left telltale evidence and there will be widespread consequences if you do not stop it. So that's where we are.
Seems like I read a different thing when I read that. Just saying.
I understand, but that's what's actually written on the sheet, so...
Seems a bit harsh. Okay, fine. I shut my public lab down and initiate super lockdown on it, whatever that looks like. probably just turn it in again, double lock the key.
So it's like when Metroplex turns from the city into the giant robot.
Sure, yeah. Can I do that? No. Is that a move? No. I try and secure the area as much as I can before I leave. But you're with me, aren't you?
Well, so my question for you, Dr. Roy, before you do that is, are you securing it from other people or from yourself? Because as we just remarked a moment ago, it was you on the video that took the sample
out. I'm securing the sample.
So it can't get back in again.
So it's left the lab. So the video showed me walking into this area. I didn't know whether it had then left the public lab out into the ship somewhere.
Oh, well, you could find that. I mean, you could do a massive search of your own lab to see whether it's still there, I suppose. Yeah.
But did I see myself leaving the public lab?
So all I'll say is you can't tell from video footage whether the sample was in your pocket or not. You know you left because it happened, like the timestamp on the video was before you went over to the Agamemnon to have your meeting with the Admiral. So you know you left.
Right.
The only question is, did you take the sample with you?
Well, we know the answer to that.
I think we can guess, but like, you can't tell that by looking at a video.
Okay. I don't like this move anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Change playbooks. Okay. All right. Well, I am of a cold sweat. And I think I lock my lab securely like somebody would lock the door after their horse has bolted.
Right, cool. That's exactly what you're doing. Excellent.
That's good. The feeling I've got right now when I'm doing it.
That's right. I'm very happy for you to have done that. I think it will be difficult for you to prevent the horse from bolting again, given it's you. But yeah.
Spoilers! Jeez.
So Sonia's got this assignment to write a thing about the Doctor and all of his amazing stuff that he's doing. I think Sonia she wouldn't want to go in cold with something like that, so she would probably want to maybe talk to Commander Buckley, get a little bit of background information on the Doctor before she goes to talk to him, because she doesn't want to, you know, she likes to get any advantage she can, I think. It's a journalistic instinct.
Razor sharp. Finely honed.
Shit digging instinct.
Yes.
And there's also a sequencing question, because I would also like, knowing that Hellcat and the Doc are about to disappear on what sounds to me like a horrendously dangerous mission, to just have a minute with Hellcat.
Absolutely.
A very professional minute.
A very 100% professional, yeah.
100%. A hot minute of professionalism.
Hard professionalism.
And it had occurred to me that having something interrupt that hot moment of professionalism might not be awful.
So where's this hot minute of hard professionalism taking place exactly?
In the cockpit of my ship? Sorry.
I was going to ask you that, Becky. Like, what would be a slightly to quite inappropriate place for me to find
well,
you?
Well, I think I will probably be on the flight deck prepping my ship.
So did you say you wanted an inappropriate place to find Hellcat? Did you actually say that?
But I did say that. But I don't mean... What I mean is, how can we frame this scene for maximum...
I took that to mean inappropriate given our rank... Not he surprises me in the shower.
Well, you know, I was going to ask you. I was going to ask, what's a good place to go if you want to have a private conversation on the Hecate? That was one of my prep questions. So let me ask that to you, Emily Hellcat Loris. What is a good place to go and have a private conversation other than your shower, obviously?
That's not a private place to have a conversation, because that's going to be like a dorm shower, isn't it, for the pilots?
Is it?
You know, like the scene in Starship Troopers.
I think that's probably correct, yeah. It would probably be more cramped than the one in Starship Troopers, but yeah.
I was thinking that, like, the shuttles that we have, like the Raptor-alike ships or Star Trek shuttles or SG-1 puddle jumpers or whatever, that they are probably the most private places.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay. Other than if you are somebody who's lucky enough to have your own private quarters.
So you would rendezvous at the shuttle bay.
I'm not sure this is a rendezvous. I think that this, it seems to me like, I think Sam goes looking for Hellcat rather than a chance encounter. So if Hellcat's on the flight deck.
I think I'd be running pre-flight checks on the shuttle. Are we just going to call them shuttles? Is that?
Ooh, I want to introduce an NPC in that case.
Can I just check, are you going to go direct and make it look like it's casual, or are you going to go direct and make it look like you went to see them? It's an important difference, right?
Yeah, it is.
Problem is, a commander always makes it look intentional.
Yeah. It's hard for me to just turn up anywhere on the ship, right?
You just like pop out of a Jeffrey's tube and go, what? What?
But you could be checking something else there and just so happens that...
No, I mean, I don't think Sam really knows how to deal with this, but I don't think he's the kind of guy who, having resolved to have a conversation with Hellcat, he probably just goes to have a conversation with Hellcat.
Just get it done.
Yeah. So I think he just strides onto the flight deck, you know.
All right. Well, I want there to be an NPC with you when this is happening for maximum embarrassment factor. Loris?
Yes.
Specifically, I have got this NPC, what I pulled out of the book, who is Katrina Ibarra, one of the fellow pilots, call sign Phantom. Yeah, she looks like she's had a few last night. Dark rings under the eyes. And she is... What are you doing exactly? Like,
I'm doing pre-flight checks.
What is that?
Clicking that buttons up and down. That's what I've seen in...
There's a checklist. There must be a checklist.
There must be a check. Like, check the fuel lines are okay. Check the brakes are working. You know, the ones that I have to press with my feet.
All right, well, Ibarra's like walking past. She's got a trolley with some crap on it that she's evidently bringing to her ship for pre-flight checks. And she just sort of screeches to a halt and is like, yo, Loris, what are you doing?
I'm doing my pre-flight checks. What are you doing?
Oh, I was going to do some pre-flight checks myself, but on a real ship.
Well, I've got to take that scientist guy out.
Exciting.
I think he'd probably throw up if I put him in the back of my fighter jet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and we've got to do some jumping.
Why are you taking him out? What's the point of that?
I don't make my own orders up.
Really?
What's that supposed to mean?
I think you know what I mean.
Well, I think you better go and do some pre-flight checks on your breath. You out last night?
Damn.
Is there maybe a ripple happening across the flight deck because Sam has now entered and so pilots are snapping off salutes and...
All right, excellent. So I think Ibarra says, I think you know exactly what I mean, that Commander... what's your nickname, Commander Buckley?
What do you mean my nickname?
You've got to have a nickname, right? What would people call you if they were kind of being slightly mocking of you, but not...
Hot Pants Buckley.
Exactly, that's the kind of thing I was about to say, and then I was like, well, I won't just make up a nickname for him.
They used to call Adama the old man, didn't they?
Hmm. Yeah, but, and I am older, but, God, I don't know. It's Daddy. Definitely not Hot Pants.
Jesus. Pops.
Daddy Buckley.
Dilf.
Whoa!
This is turning into a very different game before my eyes.
Yes.
Not by my doing, Nick.
Thank you, Becky. God, I don't know. Somebody...
Are you an ex-engineer?
No, I think I was a pilot originally.
What about Commander Greybeard?
I don't have a beard, though.
What was your pilot's call sign?
But are you uptight? Would you consider yourself? I'm thinking something like you're a bit stiff.
No, I wouldn't. I don't think he's
all
uptight.
Right, forget it. Doesn't matter. Well, you know what I'm talking about. Commander Loverboy. Hmm? Does he give the orders or do you? Who wears the trousers exactly?
While she's saying all that, can I have seen Commander Buckley and just salute?
You definitely can.
And just let her carry on while I snap a incredibly smart salute and say, Commander on deck.
She just like whirls around and goes, hello, Commander. So nice to see you down here.
Is she saluting?
Yes, she'll give you a slightly tinged with irony, but just about regulation salute.
Okay.
Are you here to see Lieutenant Loris? Because I have other places I could be, you know.
As a matter of fact, I am, Ibarra, and perhaps you should be those places?
Definitely will do, sir.
Carry on.
You two enjoy your conversation. Bye, bye.
Oh, I'm going to 100% hit her when I see her later on and get put in the brig for it.
Do you say that?
No, but I don't say it with my words, but I very clearly say it with my facial expression.
Right, okay. I think Sam will say, eyes on the prize, Hellcat.
I don't know what you mean, Commander. I was just doing my pre-flight checks before I take the dock out.
Very good. How's she looking inside?
Everything seems normal, but I don't know. These days, with everything that's going on the ship, I'm feeling extra paranoid.
Better give her a second once over. Can I lend a hand?
Yeah, actually. I wouldn't mind a second pair of eyes on it.
Okay, and I'll just stride into the back of the shuttle, studiously not paying attention to anything else on the flight deck.
Yeah, I'll go into the back of the shuttle as well because I need to check the oxygen scrubbers.
Yeah, well, it's on the checklist.
I might even say, oh, I'm a little worried about the O2 scrubbers.
We're the worst. Yeah. Okay, so once we're inside the back of the thing and there's some degree of privacy.
Just quick question before you launch into that. What is the how small is the inside of the shuttle?
I don't think it's tiny. In my mind, it's like a Raptor. And Raptors, you could, fit six people in them fairly comfortably. And I can't remember how many they evacuated from
Earth. It's like the back of a van.
Yeah.
Yeah, back of a transit.
Okay.
Back of a Ford Transit. Ford Transit, very reliable.
How wide is the wheelbase?
I don't know how wide the wheelbase is.
I don't know. I guess once we're in here, Sam's probably makes some half-hearted show of writing down the things that you would in the checklist, but it's pretty obvious that that's not what he's...
Oh, in that case, I'll say, is there something you wanted to talk to me about, Cam? Because I can do these checks on my own.
No, of course. I don't mean to... Just, I guess I wanted to say, be careful out there.
Well, I'm not looking forward to it, I won't lie, but I don't like the fact that the doc doesn't seem to believe me about how bad it is. And I think I was really, thank you for stating my case to the Admiral. I honestly thought I was going to end up in the brig over that. And it was me that made the call, and I guess I need to take the dog out there and prove it was as bad as I thought it was.
I mean, between us, I thought there was a good chance you were going to end up in the brig too, which was why I went in swinging for you. You made the right call.
You don't need to do that, but thank you.
Look, I don't feel great about sending you and the doc out there, just the pair of you, you know, unsupported.
It won't be anything I can't handle.
You'll come back, right? This is important. Bring him back.
I've got to bring him back. Do you know why? I've got to bring him back because I want to see the look on his face when he has to tell everybody that he was wrong.
I think Sam smiles at that. But he says, yeah, but you know that's not really what I'm talking about, right?
The next thing she says, it seems like it does cost us some effort. And she says, I will be careful. I promise I will be careful. No showing off. No extra flips and twists. Straight in. Take the readings straight out. And if anything looks weird or smells off, then I will let my pride take a hit. And I will come straight back without the evidence if that's what we need to do.
I think Sam kind of is looking at right in Hellcat's eyes and kind of holds that look for longer than is entirely comfortable, I think. And then he says, I'm going to hold you to that promise.
Just make sure the brig's warm for me when I get back, okay?
All right, do you think one of us is reaching out to the other one?
I feel like there's a voice whispering... Nay, screaming.
Josh is losing his mind.
Are you making a move there?
Yes, I think I am reaching out. Are you also reaching out?
I'm also reaching out, but I seem to recall I'm really bad at it.
I don't think I'm much better. What's the...
Well, hold on. Just, don't just hastily roll the dice. So I don't think we should have both of you roll to reach out, surely. Surely it would make more sense for one of you to roll and the other one to assist.
Oh, can you assist on a reach out?
I can't see why not.
I think as the commander came down to speak to you, I think he is the one initiating the reaching out. And as you're open to it, you're assisting.
Yeah.
I was going to say the same thing, Ed. I think.
That makes sense to me. Super. Well then, Commander Buckley.
So what does the assist do for me?
How do I do an assist?
You have to roll it to assist. You would use your warm. However, you can also use, instead, your relationship with Commander Buckley, which I guess is plus one.
Let's hope so, because I don't think my warm is.
You use it instead, is that correct?
Instead.
I do have a plus one relationship with Buckley.
Super.
I was hoping for a second you were going to let me use raw.
Keep dreaming.
So I roll the assist first, is that right?
Doesn't matter. You can roll in either order, but I will resolve it all in one glorious...
I'm going to roll then.
Disaster of some kind, I'm thinking.
I'm also going to roll.
I've rolled.
And?
So I rolled snake eyes on the dice.
Yeah. I love it.
Turns into a glorious four. My plus one for the relationship, plus my plus one ongoing, because... This is I'm in love with Hellcat.
Ooh, Wait. So that with all of that is
possible. No, with all of that I get a four.
Very impressive.
So with all the pluses on Earth, you still managed to epically fail, which is amazing. It's perfect.
Man, I rolled a 10.
Excellent. So you hold two. You can give plus or minus one to the move after they roll. It would be plus one because you're supporting. You can create an opportunity or problem for them. Or you can redirect a negative impact of the move from the person making it onto someone else. So, very interesting.
It's complex.
So I get to make a move. This is exciting. Don't get to do that very often.
I'm just hoping a bit of Korax doesn't fall on your head. As you're speaking, that's all I'm saying. I don't want to be responsible for the...
Yeah.
Have you been running around the ship stashing bits of Korax?
In my... lab, yes, but this is the only one that's escaped. I don't know who is leaking it, but...
Now, hang on a second. Is this one of those moves that we cannot...
You can't boost with pressure.
Yeah, okay, good to know.
I think I'm going to be quite boring. Because it just feels like it would be wrong to have anything explode at this moment in time. And I'm just going to... I feel like, Loris, I think it's you that's going to be marking pressure. I think you feel the pressure, just because there isn't no better word for it, of knowing that the commander is concerned for your well-being and knowing that you are taking quite a big risk.
And that you've just promised to do some stuff that is maybe slightly contrary to your...
Hugely contrary. I'm very close to breaking point now. This is brilliant.
It's not good to go out on a mission close to breaking point, I'm just saying.
No, it's brilliant. It'll all be fine. Don't worry. So what does my hold two mean in this boring situation that you've now outlined?
So sadly for you, I think you have happened upon the rare situation where a 10 plus on a support move might not be that helpful, because dear Commander Buckley is such a crap dice roller.
Oh, man, I should have done
that. I'm a great story generator.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are. You're the best.
You can create an opportunity for him, but it would, like, in this situation, it's hard to see how you would. And you could redirect a negative impact to the move from the person making it on someone else, but since the negative impact's hit you, not so much.
What was the last thing you said to me, Cap?
I'm going to hold you to that.
In that case, you'll just very lightly touch your arm. I did it.
The tension. Goosebumps. Rise on his arm.
Followed by tiny mushrooms.
Followed by tiny mushrooms. That's exactly what
I was thinking.
Then
he turns into a giant squiggly beast with tentacles flailing out the top of his head. No, I've gone too far.
I think if you reached out and touched Sam's arm, I think
I definitely did, Nick.
That's what just happened.
It's not an if; it's 100% true. And yeah.
I think he would put his hand on yours, and then I think Sam might lean in.
I'm waiting to see if that's when Sonya Vega turns up.
I just feel like, yeah, that is, yeah.
Not yet, no.
We can't pop that seal too early, you see. So Sonya Vega has to interrupt this to keep the tension flowing.
We did discuss that this has happened a number of times throughout your relationship.
It has, yes.
How do you react when the door of the shuttle opens?
Well, I think I'll jump back in surprise. As if I'd been caught doing something I shouldn't have been doing, even though I was doing nothing that I shouldn't have been doing.
I think Sam won't jump back, and so he'll be quite still in that moment.
Maybe you adjust your uniform a little bit, or would you just be like frozen in the moment?
No, I don't think it's even, I don't think he's stuck still because out of surprise. I think it's sadness rather than surprise, right? You know, like when you're kind of resigned into the moment, when you realize that something has happened that means this isn't going to go the way you wanted it to go. And maybe you know that it shouldn't have anyway, and that's a bit sad. And so, you know, the slightest of slumps to his shoulders, but only very slight, because I think he tends to be pretty well put together in the uniform. And I mean, he's not young, so his reaction is not one of shame or anything like that.
So that's what you see, Vega, as you
a man with a face of weary acceptance at his fates.
I think Ibarra might have told you that this is where you could find Kate.
Oh,
luckily, by the way.
I get that.
So I think I don't quite clock what's going on immediately, so I say, oh, Captain, I was told I'd find you here. I'm not interrupting, am I? And I sort of glance at Loris just quickly.
I think that the secret mission briefing is finished, isn't it, Captain?
Sam will smile and say, yes.
You guys are rubbish at this. You need to get better at this, otherwise you're going
to
get caught.
You need to get better at this.
You need to speak to a Scorpio about how not to get caught.
He'll say, yes. What do I call you, Sonya? Is it Sonya, Ms. Vega? What's the... It'd be slightly formal, I think.
Yeah, you'd probably call me Ms. Vega, I think.
So I think Sam says, with a little bit of a smile, yes, briefing's over. We'll leave you to finish your checks, Hellcat. Flash rate, Ms. Vega, shall we?
Lead the way.
And as he's walking out of the shuttle, he'll just say, out of interest, who told you that I was in the shuttle here?
Oh, that officer over there, and I point to Katrina.
Sam will just say, yeah, very good. What can I do for you? And he'll look back over his shoulder. At
me, my face very clearly says, when I get back from this mission, I'm going to punch her so hard, that Katrina, that you are going to need to brig me for a week.
Can I make an observation about the podcast?
No.
You should definitely say where your website is and that you have a Patreon at the end. Can I just say that?
Oh.
For advertisement purposes.
All right. I'll tell you what, I'm going to record a special announcement right now. Ed says that I have been backward in promoting our website and Patreon. So I'm adding this to the end of the podcast. That's where it's going to show up. We've got a website. It's blackarmada.com and it's brilliant. You can buy all of our stuff there and read our blog. And we've got a Patreon where you can get an awesome new game every month for the princely sum of $5 a month. Patreon.com/blackarmada.
There we go. Don't be shy about it.
Are you satisfied, Ed?
Sell your goddamn wares.
Thanks for listening. We've been playing Last Fleet by me, Josh Fox. You can find links to information about Last Fleet in the show notes. And don't forget also that Becky's new crowdfunding campaign for Wreck This Deck is coming on the 1st of June. And there'll be a link to that in the show notes too. See you next time.
that your second beer, Ed?
It is of the same type.
What was that type of beer again, Ed?
It's By the Horns Brewing Company Session IPA. Shell Suit Dreams is the name of the beer.
That sounds delicious.
Shells do dreams.
Shell Suit Dreams.
Shell Suit Dreams. That's much better.
And I've just realised the pattern.
Is it a lager?
The pattern. No, it's the Session IPA. The pattern is like that Session obscure IPA. Sort of 80s pattern that you think you recognise, but.
Oh, man. That sounds why far would you too call
an
us.
IPA Shell Suit Dreams?
To tap into powerful nostalgia. I had a shell suit.
I had a shell suit.
Mine was a turquoise blue, white, and pink.
I believe that mine was black, purple, cool. and turquoise. But it's a long time ago. I'm not sure.
I only have very hazy memories of the shell suit.
You had a shell suit?
You had a shell suit.
Did you just both said we had a shell suit?
How did I miss that? I was too busy reading the origin story of the shell suit dreams there.
Didn't you have a shell suit, Ed? Didn't everybody have one in the early 90s?
No.
My sisters had matching ones.
Oh, you got matching ones with your fam? That's cool.
No, my sisters had matching ones because they were sort of similar ages, and I think Mum just got two of everything. And then this guy turns
you
up.
You had two whole shell suits yourself?
Yeah, two hand-me-downs, yeah. It's like there's loads of family pictures of like two little girls dressed the same, and then this potato completely different outfit.
I used to love hand-me-downs. I used to get hand-me-downs from my cousin. I was very disappointed when they stopped, when the tap of hand-me-downs got turned off. Because what I remember is like going on holiday, seeing my cousin, thinking, wow. There's some sweet clothes that she's wearing, and knowing that like 6 months' time they're going to end up on me. And I remember that. And I remember thinking, like, I didn't feel bad about hand-me-downs. I was like, this is amazing. This is my future wardrobe, and it looks really cool, and it's going to look like that on me.
Yeah. Like, hey there, cousin. Looks like you're due for a growth spurt there.
Is that a little bit of wrist I see showing at the end of your jumper? Looks like that should be coming down to me now.
These days when I go home, there's a 50-50 chance that my dad will be wearing some clothes that I left behind in Australia.
I get that a lot. My dad keeps leaving jumpers in my house. I'm like, this jumper fits me quite well, but I don't remember ever buying it.
There's a really nice kind of grey one that you wore for a really long time, and I think
I wore through.
Eventually he realised. I think he did wear it through.
Yeah.
Thanks, Hugh.
I'm surprised that you're Mum was willing to let you have all those hand-me-downs when she so loves shopping.
Charity shopping.
For clothes.
I don't think it was like, you didn't, charity shopping for clothes was like, I think it was less of a thing when I was a child. It was still a thing, and I definitely still got some, but I don't think it was as much of a thing. And besides, they had less money back when I was a child than they do now.
I'm pretty sure that I got a lot of clothes from charity shops.
Jumble sales, it used to be back then.
I got a lot from jumble sales. Yeah, a lot of jumpers and stuff.
Anyway, no, I didn't have a shell suit. I was too busy being a moody goth, and it wouldn't have gone with my winkle pickers.
You are like 300 years older than me.
Yeah. I was there at the beginning of the goth movement. Me and Pete Murphy and Andrew Eldritch, we're all hanging out. We just thought, hey, let's just start wearing, let's start wearing black and spiking our hair.
Are they not in their 60s now, though?
Yeah, well, they aged faster than I did. So it's one of those curious goth things. Living. Yeah, they carried on. I took a back seat, slowed my aging process down a bit. Right. Now I've finished ordering my Red Paddle dry robe. I'm going to move on to my...
Are you getting a dry robe?
Yeah. Well, all my...
Just around the house.
But just, well, whenever. Whenever the mood takes me.
Just to be clear, you've discussed a variety of different types of clothes across the course of this episode, and I have no idea what any of them are.
What, you don't know what? Did they not have shell suits in Australia?
Are they a bit hot? Hot and sweaty in Australia.
They were probably called shellies or something.
Yeah, shallows.
Shallows. Yes.
If you think of Challenge Annika,
how to explain a shell suit?
Yeah,
shell suit is a type of tracksuit made of a particularly strange plasticized fabric that kind
brackets,
of...
Brackets, highly flammable.
Highly flammable. They can't. They don't make them anymore, I think, because they're so flammable. And they kind of like rustle. And they're almost a little bit iridescent. Even though they're not actually
like
iridescent, they feel like they're iridescent.
And goths are angered at the sight of them, just saying.
And they only came in like the most ridiculous, like neon bright.
I reckon that at about this time period, if ever I'd seen one of those on television, I would instantly have gone, ah, yep, they're English.
Probably.
Yeah, and if you want to see them, you got to watch Harry Enfield, because I'm pretty sure Harry Enfield has a character who wears a shell suit, in fact, him and Paul Whitehouse.
I don't know who either of those people are.
Hot Milk
Sue
Vintage.
Just shared a link that says hotmilkvintage.com, and that worries me a great deal.
It's a safe link. It's okay.
Is it?
Wow.
I clicked it.
So there were tracksuits that were not particularly warm, but neither were they waterproof. They were just very weird.
And that you couldn't really exercise in them either.
No, you couldn't because they're too sweaty. But they made this most amazing, like, rustling sound. And they had the fabric looked really distinctive. And for a while in the 90s, everyone who was anyone wore one of these babies. It was like as ubiquitous as flares, except for Ed.
And
which part of the 90s, front end or back end?
Back end. No, front, well, hang on, early. Early 90s, like 1990, 91, 92, I would say. I don't think of that as late 90s at all.
Maybe late 80s, 89 to 92, I would say.
Very short-lived fashion. Very short-lived, but very intense period of fashion, I would say.
Right.
Like, one year you turn around and, like, for, like, the summer, everybody was in these things. And then...
That or the colour-changing T-shirts.
That or the colour-changing T-shirts.
Global hypercolour.
They were
a little bit earlier, global hypercolour.
Yeah.
My uncle had a global hypercolour T-shirt, but he was a very sweaty man. So it put me off the idea because he was just glowing hypercolour under the armpits, primarily. So, yeah, it took the edge off. So it took the excitement away somewhat.
Took the glamour
away. Yeah, I think they stopped working after a while as well. So for hand-me-downs, totally useless.
Rubbish. What other clothing, Nick?
The thing that...
The dry robe.
Dry robe's like a big coat that you... It used to be worn by sort of surfers. You'd get out and it'd just be like a warm coat on the inside.
It's
and waterproof
gown,
on the
outside, isn't it?
It's not. It's an outdoor coat that's lined with a towel.
Oh.
Because swimmers...
Is it like that thing that Liz has got?
Yeah, well, she has a dry robe. It is a dry
robe. Is that
what
that is?
Yeah. So maybe I've never heard of these because it's 35 degrees when you get out of the water, so...
Exactly. You are familiar with wetsuits, though, right? I mean, you just probably wear your boardies when you're surfing. Bordos. When you're surfoing.
Yes, I'm familiar with wetsuits.
Okay. That's good. And you're familiar with winkle pickers, I'm assuming. You know what
a winkle picker is. No.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, wow.
I mean...
I had no idea that these were not so universal, though. I'm being schooled.
It may be that every Australian knows what these things are, and it's just me that doesn't.
So dry robes are a contemporary thing. So if you don't know about dry robes, it's probably because you don't do any outdoor watery sports in the UK.
That's because there's shit in the rivers.
There is shit in the rivers. This is going to be too controversial for the pod, but I have stopped wild swimming. I used to do it. I loved it very much. I stopped about a year and a half ago because the amount of sewage that's being dumped in the rivers, it doesn't feel very safe anymore. There we go. I said it.
I think it's not so much too controversial as too much of a downer.
Yeah, thanks
Keep
for
it
that.
Light. Keep it light, Becky.
We could have been talking about winkle pickers instead, but you chose to talk
what
about
is a winkle
poo in the river.
It's to do with
it's
swimming.
A type of shoe.
It's a shoe. It's a very, very pointy, pointy shoe.
Okay.
Normally with silvery buckles on it.
Okay. Yeah,
what goths wear. If you've seen Vic Reeves, he wears... You've never seen Vic Reeves. What's going on?
What's Vic Reeves?
I don't even know. I've lost... I can't find any cultural markers now. I'm lost in a sea of ignorance.